Hey, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis, Perek Beis. We're in the middle of Perek Beis. We just learned that we have a big problem on our hands. There was a vacuum of leadership in the amongst the Jewish people, and two people are now king. We have Ishbosheth, who is anointed by Avner, and we have David, who is anointed by the people of Hebron as king over Yehuda. And we know that this is definitely going to lead to problems. And just to keep the names in mind, we have Yoav is David's general, and Avner is Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth is the son of Shaul, his general. The Navi tells us, we're going to pick it up with Pasuk Yud. Ben Arba'im Shana Ishbosheth ben Shaul b'malcho al Yisrael. Ushtaim Shana Malach Ach Beis Yehuda Hayu Acharei David. Ishbosheth was 40 years old when he became king over Yisrael, and he reigned for 2 years. Vayhi Mispar Hayamim Asher Hayah David Melach BeChevron Al Beis Yehuda Sheva Shanim VeShisha Chadashim. Ishbosheth was king for 2 years. And David was king over Yehuda for 7.5 years. There's an inherent problem with these two psukim. There's a missing gap of 5+ years. Eventually, after the 7.5 years of David, he becomes king over all of Yisrael. But there's still a missing 5 years. What happened then? So this is a machlokes between actually Rashi and Tosfos in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Rashi writes that although the Navi tells us here that Avner made Ishbosheth king over Yisrael, that did not happen immediately after the death of Shaul. There's a missing 5 years here that are not mentioned. For 5 years after the death of Shaul, the Jewish people or Yisrael, 11 tribes out of 12 could not go on, and they could not bring themselves to anoint a new king. 5 years later, they anointed Ishbosheth. David was already anointed as king over Yehuda. We see, though, for 5 years, things were relatively quiet. Tosfos disagrees. Again, I would argue. The pshat of the Gemara sounds like David and Ishbosheth became anointed around the same time. According to Tosfos, Ishbosheth was also anointed immediately, but after 2 years, he didn't die yet, but he just lost power. People lost interest in him. And although maybe he was formerly the leader, it didn't really matter formality because nobody necessarily took him so seriously at this point, which is a fascinating, machlokes here, and both point in the direction of talking about consistency and transition and how important it is to have no vacuum of leadership. Again, but also taking the right amount of time to choose the right leader is also very necessary. The Ralbag writes, no, Ishbosheth really was king for all 7 years. And when it says here he was king over 2 years, it doesn't mean only for 2 years, but we're going to learn stories now that happened. They took place in year two of Ishbosheth's reign. And that's how you have to understand the psukim. Again, tough shot level on one level, but it answers a glaring problem with the psukim. Okay, let's continue. Now, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen when you have two factions, two groups? Are they just going to lead and reign independently? Do they work together now? Are they going to have different currency? How does this play itself out in real life? we understand the emotions involved, and we can relate to why the people of Yehuda would want David as their king, and why the people of everywhere else of Israel would want a relative of Shaul to take over. Vayetze Avner ben Ner v'Avdei Ishboshet ben Shaul me'acharam Givona. So one day, and again, this is year two of the reign. Is this in the beginning of the reign? That's up for debate amongst the Rishonim. But Avner and Ishboshet's men started to march or walk toward Givona. Toward Givona. V'Yoav ben Tsruya v'Avdei David yatzu. And it happened to also be that Yoav and his men also went out. Vayifgeshum, and they ended up meeting somewhere. Al brechas givon yachda v'yeshvu ela brecha mizeh ve'ela ala brecha mizeh. They ended up meeting at a watering hole. A brecha in modern Hebrew is a pool. They met at a body of water, and in Givon. And they both encamped on like the two sides of this. So this is awkward, right? Like, what's going to happen here now that they actually see each other in person? Parenthetically, and very important to note, is that Yoav is the son of Tsruya. Who was Tsruya? Does anyone know who Tsruya was? So this is one of these exceptions. Usually, when you have in the Torah or in the Navi, ben blank, Avner, ben Ner, who is the Mordechai, ben Shimi, ben Ish, ben Kish. So all of those, the son of, the son of, the son of, they all are fathers. Here you have an exception where Yoav's name is called after his mother's name, Tsruya. Who is Tsruya? Yoav has two brothers that we'll learn about, Asael and Avishai. And again, when you learn Navi, you're like, oh, right, that's where those names come from. I know these people. It must be a biblical name. So who is Tsruya? Tsruya was David's sister. And she was a very chashuv lady on her own right. So here, Yoav ben Tsruya. Vayomer Avner el Yoav. Avner says to Yoav, Yakumu naha na'arim v'yisachaku lefaneinu. Why don't we have like an expedition between the two camps? V'yisachaku, like from mishak, sport, like not a real fight, but let's pretend. It's always good. We just started baseball season. Oh, Mendy, we started baseball season and opening day. But before opening day, you have exhibition games where teams get together. It used to be very informal. The goal of the exhibition game was like, okay, the coaches know each other. Let's get together. It's going to sharpen us for the regular season. It's going to sharpen you for the regular season. Let's do it.
Or, Rabbi, you go to Korea and it's a regular season.
What?
Or you can go to Korea and make it a regular season.
I don't get it.
The Dodgers went to Korea and they played during exhibition baseball time. They started two games that were the regular season, even though everybody else was still playing exhibition baseball.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I learned something new every day. I thought I knew everything. Okay. Vayomer, so Avner says to Yoav, why don't we get up and let's have an exhibition? Vayomer Yoav, okay. Yoav says, no problem, Yakumu, let's go. Vayakumu vayavru b'mispar shneimasar leVinyamin uishbosheth ben Shaul shneimasar me'avdei David. Okay, so you pick your 12 best men, I'll pick my 12 best men, and we'll have a sparring match. It's a little bit ironic. Why do you think they chose 12 men? What is symbolic here? What's a symbolism? We know what 12 means, but what is the symbolism of 12 in this specific instance? So it could be that even though they want to fight or they want to practice with each other.
We had 12 spies.
We have 12 spies. Okay, we also had 12.
Tvatim.
And maybe what they're like subconsciously, we're subliminally saying to each other, we're fighting over control of a country. You think you're the leaders. We think we're the leaders. And we're going to show you. So let's put up 12. It's not a random and arbitrary number, but it has more meaning because they're not getting along at this point. Vayakumu vayavru b'mispar shneimasar l'vinyamin lishbosha ben Shaul shneimasar me'avdei David. So 12 of each team get up to spar against one another. Vayachaziku ish b'rosho b'rosh re'ehu. But now things get bad very quickly. They begin to hit each other mercilessly. V'charbo b'tzad re'ehu. And they begin using their swords to attack one another. Vayitluyachtav, and they kill each other together. They murder each other at the same time. Vayikra l'makom ahu chalkas hatzurim asher begivon. And they called this place the chalkas hatzurim, the field of the swords. Nebuch, right? We all knew what can happen. Sometimes when two people who really don't get along, who try to save face, they can only save face for so long. But when you put them in a position where they can use violence or they can use their physicality, very often human beings, you can't hold yourself back. You can't put yourself in that position. That's exactly what happened. And this became a war, like a mini civil war right then and there. And Avner and his soldiers were like beaten up by Avner, by David's people. I mean, David's people have been fighting for a long time. They are seasoned warriors or seasoned soldiers. And they wipe the floor with Avner and his people. Hisham Shlosha ben Tzruya, and this is the pasuk I was alluding to earlier. There are three sons of Tzruya, Yoav, Avishai, v'Asael. Vas'el kal baraglav. Kechad etzviyim asher besada. So Asael and Avishai were like, I don't know the term, but you have a general and then you have people under him, a lieutenant, a colonel, a captain, a major. I don't fully know the differences between the terms. For me, for those that played the game Stratego growing up, it's like that's like the best of my knowledge about all the different terminology about the levels of soldiers at war. So they're fighting a war right now, and they have three. So Yoav's at the top, he's a general, and he has two men that oversee a lot for him in the war, and that is Avishai and Asael. And Asael was very, very fast. Asael, right, in the heat of this battle, went to chase after Avner, and they figured if they can kill Avner right now, they can get this all done with, and David could take over as king over the whole nation, which is exactly what David was promised and actually was done to him. Right? It's not like, by the way, David wasn't fighting for this. It's usually the people themselves are more meshuga for their thing, for the leader, than the leader themselves. As Avner is running away from him, he says, are you Asael? He said, yes. So Avner was maybe not as fast as Asael, but Avner at this point realized that too many people were killed today, and this was a mistake. And Avner knew that he was very strong, And if somebody was going to come, if Asa was going to come to try to kill him, he would have no choice but to defend himself. So Asa, he turned to Asael as he was running away and said, listen, I have one of my servants with me. Let me rip his shirt off, give it to you, and you'll bring it back to the camp and say, like, you killed me. Now, he didn't want, at this point, he just felt this was just too much. But Yosef Odav Ner Lemor Asael Asael Sor Lachamecha Re Lama Akeka Arza Vechasa Panay El Yoav Vechicha. So Avner said again, stop pursuing me. I can never look at Yoav in the face again. Rightfully so. Yoav is concerned. As Avner is concerned, I want peace. This was a big, 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 big mistake. I want peace. We deserve peace. This should not happen. Stop chasing after me. I don't want to have to kill you. I don't want to have to explain myself to Yoav. Vayama'in lasur. He refused. Asael was stubborn. He felt he had a mission, and he wanted to kill him. And Avner had no choice. Vayakeu Avner b'acharech hanis el ha-chomesh. Avner turned and killed him with a chanis, with a spear. Ironically, or interestingly, just to bank this, I'm not sure what to look at this more, Shaul always used a spear, and now his people, Avner, his general, is using also a spear. And he kills him in the fifth rib. Okay? Elachan elachomesh. We're going to see that this is going to be a typical way of killing somebody fastly and swiftly. The fifth rib is like very close to the heart. And I once saw a video explaining this, these psukim in the Navi, that if you hit that part, it's going to quickly rupture the heart, rupture the maybe the ventricles, that's the right term, connecting to the heart and immediately kill someone, you know, quick, very, very quickly. And he killed him right away, very, very fast. And after Asael died, everyone just stopped. Everybody stopped. They realized this is, we went too far. Yoav and Avishai, when they saw that Asael died, they chased Avner. And eventually, as the sun was setting, they also stopped. So all of the people of Binyamin went out to protect and rally behind Avner, to really protect him. Avner turns to, yells out to Yoav at night, like, we can't fight like this forever. Must the sword devour us forever? It's going to be bad. If you continue to fight, if Am Yisrael continues to fight, it's just going to be bad. You know who's going to win? No one. Well, really, you know who's going to win? Our enemies. They love it when we fight against each other. This really, this parak here and this little episode here is really symbolic of a lot of Sefer Shmuel days, is that while Shmuel Aleph and Shoftim, we deal with our enemies from beyond our borders, or from maybe within our borders, but definitely are not part of our machane, not part of the Jewish people. Shmuel Beis is all about infighting. There's going to be very, very little, you know, proactive enemies trying to attack us. We see here, we are our own worst enemy. That is really the theme, in many ways, of all of Tanakh. And we'll see it come up in numerous times throughout our
Rabbi.
Story. Yeah.
So again, we said last time that Shmuel did die. He's dead. There's nobody here to fill in for him. In other words, after Shmuel now, it's been, I don't know how many years, that someone, this is not, could stand up and say, well, I just want you to know, David is the king. This is what Hashem wants.
Nope, we don't see that. We don't see anyone taking that position.
When's the next time that we have somebody in place that will now
straighten everyone?
You know, be
When's the last time we see like another intervene?
Another, and that will
We'll
now
see another
take
intervening in Perek Zayin, but for Perek Vav or Perek Zayin, but not in the same way. Not to intervene about stopping something like this. Sometimes, you know, Hashem can't solve our problems. We need to solve our problems on our own sometimes. And we can't always like have like a backup.
No. Well, maybe Shmuel should have thought about it, having something in place to make sure.
Yeah, I don't. This is not Shmuel's fault here. You know, I don't see it as being Shmuel's fault. I just the Jewish people need to get around, like figure out ways to work together. You know, it's not going to be solved by, you know, who solves it? Our enemies. Our enemies are really good at uniting the Jewish people. They're awesome at it. They're really talented at uniting all of Bergen County, at uniting all of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. They're really, really good at it. Every single time they do it. You know, we could be better at being more proactive. Like Krav, Neral, Yoav. So we Avner says Yoav, like what's gonna happen? We're just gonna fight forever? Vayomer Yoav, and Yoav here is very angry. We're gonna see that Yoav, we're gonna learn a lot about Yoav. He, as I say, he's not even a supporting character. He's one of the main characters of the Sefer. A very complicated, nuanced individual. Vayomer Yoav, Chai Elokim ki lulei dibarta ki yaz meaboker na'alem ha'am. Ish me'achiv acharo. Like, Yoav says, like, I swear to you, like, you're telling me to stop fighting? You're the one that started this whole thing. You said, let's do this. Vayitzka Yoav b'shofar v'yamdu kol ha'am. He blew a shofar Yoav. And which like was a sign of the end of the battle. Below Yerdifu Odacharesh Yisrael, and they stopped fighting. Below Yasfu Oli Lachem, and they stopped pursuing one another. Avner Vanashav Hachuba Areva Kol Alayla. Avner and his men continued on their path and their journey. They did what they needed to do, whatever mission they were on. But Yoav Shab Mechare Avner Vikbut is Kola Am Vikpakdu Meavde David Tisha Athar Ish Vasael. Yoav left and they unfortunately brought back with them 20 men that died were killed in this quote unquote battle. Vavde David Hiku Binyamin and Uvanche Avner Shalosh Meos Vishishim Ish Mesu. Now look how lopsided it was. Yoav and his men killed, sorry, Avner and his men killed 20 of David's people. How many did David kill? 360, right? 360. Vayis Uas Asael Vik Baru Bekever Aviv. They carried Asael and they buried him in the family burial plot, Asher Beis Lachem, which is in Beis Lachem. Vayochu Kol Halayla Yoav Anashav Vayor Lahem Chevron. And they traveled throughout the entire night, and they went to Hebron. Right? This is just one of, you know, probably the first moment of civil war, actual war, real war, that the Jewish people are fighting against the Jews. We just finished the battle with the Plishtim, where Shaul died. The Plishtim are not mentioned here at all. And still, Jewish people... Jewish blood is being spilled in Eretz Israel. By whom? By ourselves. It's so sad. It's so sad. And we're not end with the first parak pasuk in parak Yemal. Batia milchama aruka bein beis Shaul bein beis David. The war was long. It was lengthy. The David holeif vechazek. David continued to get strong. Veishal holchim edalim, and the house of Shaul became weaker and weaker. It doesn't mean here they became weaker because they were getting beaten up. They became weaker because they became like superfluous. They became the leadership of Beis Shaul became unnecessary. And we're going to see that that's eventually what's going to happen. The people are going to get taken by David. Again, they were taken by David a long time ago, but things changed, and it could be they thought differently about David, and David has to win them back. And but the people liked David for a very long time. They got along with him really, really well. Okay. But
Rabbi,
yeah.
just a question. Over Shabbos, I do a lot of reading, and I was thinking about if you had to compare, we haven't seen David really today in the learning, but we've seen David like practically every week of learning. If you had to compare David to one person so far in Jewish history, who would you say that person would be? Don't give me an answer today if you don't think about it. But who would, because Honey and I came up with two separate answers. But who would you think David, and we've seen a
Resemble.
lot of him, who is he most like?
I don't know. Okay,
Think
let's
about
think about it.
it. Think about it. Because we've seen his character. He does have a very, very special character. Something he had so many opportunities to kill Shaul, and he wouldn't do it.
We'll do
He
it.
was he was very he was a very special person. And
Yeah.
there's an amunah and everything, but if you had to say, think about it, I'll ask you again the question, maybe on Thursday,
Okay.
and see who you come up with. And if anyone else has an answer that they would like to
You
give, you
mean
can email
today?
me.
You mean contemporary?
No,
No.
say so far up until
In
David
Tanakh.
and
Okay.
Tanakh, who would up until David's time, who would you say that David is similar to? Don't think about it a little bit, and you could email me when we learn together next time. You could give me an answer. Okay,
Okay.
that's my
Have a
question
great
for
day,
the day.
everyone. Take care. All the
Okay,
best.
have a good day.